This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Coming up on the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And what's cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Let's go over to the South Side, where we find our very own Jeff Hathorne. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jeff, that was a really interesting quote from Justin Fields. If I did play well enough, I don't think there would be any sort of who should be playing and who should not. He's making the statement there that he doesn't believe Russell Wilson was in any way the anointed one. You know, this isn't like Ben or like 15 other quarterbacks around the league where there's no question they're the guy and who's the backup. Fields felt like he had a real chance. Do you believe him?
I do, and I believe him that he felt like he could have played better, that wasn't his maximum, that's not his ceiling, that he could have done more with the opportunity. I think what you also can read into that quote is he knew he had to play damn near perfect for when Russ to get healthy, him not to be the starting quarterback. Like, they probably, like Arthur Smith mentioned, you know, we could be 6-0 or something like that. They would almost have to be at that level. And he would probably have to be in the top 10 of quarterback numbers for him to have kept this job.
So we get reports of Russ from teammates, but also Chris Hoke looking unbelievable in practice, not just today, or not even today, because I don't know about today yet, but in recent weeks. Has that been your experience and what people tell you?
You know what? Hokie's a strong, trustworthy BYU man. I back his take on what's happened. Listen, they've been curious about what this offense will look like under Russell Wilson from the minute they brought him into town. And, you know, Justin didn't win a competition against him. It was always going to be Russell's job. So, yeah, there's some intrigue. Now, intrigue and being in practice when you know you're not going to get hit, and you know you're not going to face a defensive front that's pretty good, that's pretty physical in the Jets. That's one thing. Let's see what happens in the game situation, how the line holds up, how he looks. But I'd second what Hokie said.
How about injury-wise this week, Jeff, with guys like Alex Highsmith, I guess, would lead the list, but who's sort of been on the fence that's going one way or the other?
Yeah, Alex told me yesterday he's very, very optimistic that he's going to play. It looks good for Highsmith to return. I'm trying to think who else was on the list that still has an option to play. I think Michael Pruitt has a chance to get back, and people might think, who's that? But he's a pretty good blocking tight end. He's a guy that can help seal the edge and help some of the things Najee was saying that help with the run game, help that be more consistent. So that's a sneaky one that could be added into the lineup, and I think we're going to see both tailbacks together, maybe not on the field together, but we're going to see, you know, Najee and Warren, which is going to be, you know, with Jalen with a little bit more rust knocked off.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think that he just hasn't looked himself this season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it started with the hamstring injury, which – a couple of guys over here told me that he rushed, and they were kind of a little annoyed just because he still wants to be on the field, and you love that about him. But there's also times where these guys have to be honest when they're not 100%, especially if you have an option like Patterson, which obviously they don't right now. And I don't think the knee's 100% yet. I think he's still working through some things. I mean, he's another one that's looked really good in practice, but it didn't translate on Sunday. I would expect a better performance. Even against this better defense in the Jets Sunday night.
All right, Jeff. give me a prediction on the game. How do you think this one turns out?
This is going to be a tough. I mean, Devontae Adams added in. That's going to give a boost to the Jets, not just the offense, but I think their whole team. They've been close. Aaron Rodgers has had the ball, what, three times, and he hasn't come through on the last drive of the game. You know, he's looking to make a statement. But I think Russ is going to play well enough. I think the Steelers win it 24-23.
Maybe on a Boswell last-second field goal, huh?
Wonder if it'd be like 60. That would be something.
Yeah, it would. I think he's capable of it.
As long as there's no lightning delay.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Joe.
That's Jeff Hathorn. You can read his stuff on our website at 937thefan.com. And you hear him across all of our platforms here, across all of our shows, because he is a reporter extraordinaire. All right, Sean, this has been wonderful today. City Limits is up on a stage at Baldwin right now with a bunch of other prominent Baldwin graduates.
He is the most prominent of all of them, though.
Kevin Gorman is there, Alex Stump. Who else? Who else did he say was there today?
I wasn't listening. He didn't tell me.
There was a list of like 10 very prominent
people. Is Jack Hillgrove there?
Jack Hillgrove is there. Yeah. Ashley Liotis is there.
All the big hitters.
Yeah. So,
but none stands taller than 5'10" Austin Bechtold.
Now, you and I both agree he's not 5'10".
No.
He's about 5'8".
Well, he has like the bigger hair now. So
do
I
you
guess
measure
maybe,
that? Does that?
I think he is. He's measuring that. Yeah.
And he's 145. Which is unbelievable.
That is probably accurate, yes.
Whether he's 5'8 or 5'10, to be sitting there at 145, he claims it's a fast metabolism.
He would not do well against Hokie. I was like 140, and I'm clearly taller than him. I was 140 at one point in my college life. So I was real thin, yes.
I haven't been 140 since probably 8th or 9th grade. And then I started going on a diet of cheeseburgers and milkshakes to gain weight for basketball.
Yeah.
And
it
worked.
Help?
Yeah, I got up to 165 my senior year. Now I'm about 50 pounds heavier than that. I'm a whole nother human being added.
You still
to
look good. You look svelte.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I look like crap. I'm falling apart here. It's like a car at 100,000 miles. Just
you
all
still
of
got
a sudden,
another 100,000 on you.
I hope so. I don't know, man. I'm on the back nine here.
You're like a Honda Accord.
I'm not in the fourth quarter yet, though. I tried to talk to Joe Namath this week. That's what he told Ron the last time they talked. Broadway Joe is 82, I believe, and he said he's in the fourth quarter. And he said, I've always played my best in the fourth quarter. Were you listening the day Joe Namath called Ron on his last show?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was a great fitting way to send Ron off. And then you said he just walked right out, right?
Ron did, yeah.
Never to be seen again.
He walked out. People lining up the hallway to clap. It was unbelievable. He never expected that. He thinks of himself as a Shrek-like character, both hideous and unloved, and neither is true. Ron is actually a perfectly acceptable-looking man for his age.
And he's on his ninth beer of the day.
And well-liked, well-loved, much loved. His self-perception, like a lot of our self-perceptions, is very skewed. I hope he's doing well. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevy, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. It's a football Friday with Donnie Football tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of fun. High 60 today with sunny skies. Good night, Sean. Don't call me Seth Meyers.
Good night, Joe.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.